Well, hey there, Mama, and welcome back to the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast, episode number 118. I'm Emily McDermott, and I'm here beside you on this journey as we work together to declutter your home, head, and heart. If you were like me, you might be starting to get your physical clutter under control, but when it comes to digital clutter, it's a whole other story. And I'm very excited to be talking to fellow podcaster and my friend, Deanna Yates, on the show today, all about digital decluttering, specifically files and emails. Please help us, Deanna. Deanna is the host of the popular podcast, Wanna Be Clutter Free, and she helps busy families learn how to let go of the stuff holding them back so they can stop spending their entire weekend cleaning house and start enjoying more time together. And her positive attitude and down-to-earth nature has propelled the Wanna Be Clutter Free podcast to the top 1% of podcasts and has over 1.5 million listens. She has expert guests, tips and tricks, from her own experiences, and she's helped women from all over the world discover the freedom that comes from living clutter-free. And when she's not helping clients, you can find her paddleboarding, searching for the tastiest breakfast burrito, yummy, or balancing her love of world travel with her love of snuggling up on the couch. And I was thrilled to be a part of Deanna's Chaos to Calm Summit, and also a guest on her podcast, which you'll find in the show notes today. And at the end of the episode, I mentioned that I'm going to write a song about her podcast to the tune of Spice Girls Wannabe, which I actually did, but you're going to have to wait for the next summit in order to hear that. I know you're going to love this conversation with Deanna, so what do you say? Grab that notebook and pen, and let's dive into today's conversation with Deanna Yates. Hey there, Mama. Are you tired of all the stuff crowding your home, calendar, and mind? Do you wish you could say goodbye to the endless to-do list running around in your head? Want to declutter but don't know where to start? You're in the right place. Welcome to Moms Overcoming Overwhelm, where you will find proven and practical solutions to declutter your home, head, and heart. Hi, I'm Emily, a wife, boy mom, and simplicity seeker. I struggled to get pregnant and felt overwhelmed until I discovered decluttering could create the physical and emotional space I needed to become a mom. Now, two kids later, I've transformed my life and motherhood by developing simple systems around decluttering, capsule wardrobes, kid stuff, cleaning and tidying, meal planning, time management, and more, and I can't wait to share them with you. If you're ready to reclaim the time and energy you crave, be present with your kids, and finally enjoy the life and motherhood you so deserve, let's kick overwhelm to the curb, shall we? Grab your lukewarm coffee, your notebook and pen, and clear off some counter space. Let's do this. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Deanna. I'm so excited to be talking with you today.
Oh, I am so thrilled to be here, Emily. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you and I are kindred spirits for sure. Yes. And I was just talking about how I, when it comes to decluttering all of the things, the physical and the mental and the emotional, I have some things that over the almost 10 years on my journey, I have been figured out, but there are other things like the digital decluttering that I really struggle with. I just kind of like put it all in a folder. Like my desktop has like a folder. It says to be reviewed, but then there's a bunch of stuff in that folder, which I haven't reviewed. So anyway, I can't wait to dive into this conversation because I need help personally, but I would love it if you could first introduce yourself, your family, kind of how you serve women and what you like to do in your copious amounts of free time when you aren't doing all those other things.
Yes, the copious amounts of free time. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Deanna Yates, and I also am a podcaster. And, you know, that's actually how Emily and I met, is just this wonderful world of podcasting. And I have been on this decluttering journey. I would say it has been, probably about 10 years for myself as well. We started, we traveled actually when our daughter was one. We were working from home. My husband and I had a business that we did, and we were working from home, and we said, we can do this from anywhere. So we were one of those families that sold 90% of what we owned, had traveled with, you know, carry-on bags, and went and traveled. And we traveled for 6 months in Europe with a one-year-old, and it was a very exciting and interesting experience. And you would think that that would be the start of my minimalist journey, but it wasn't really. It was actually when we came back to the States, we settled in, we bought a house, tried to live near family in Iowa, and Everyone was so generous because we had sold everything. We didn't have anything, right? And everybody was so generous and piled on us and gave us love and gave us stuff and all the things we needed and way more than we needed. And that was the start of my journey. After about a year and a half of living there, we ended up, got another job in Chicago. And so we moved to Chicago. And that was when the journey really started. I was like, we have way too much. I'm so overwhelmed. We went from a three-bedroom, two-story house to a tiny two-bedroom apartment in downtown Chicago. We actually lived in a one-bedroom apartment for 3 months while that building was being built because it was a brand new building that I was going to be the property manager of. And so that was really where it was like, okay, we got to figure this out. And letting go of the stuff really did make such a huge difference. And I was working a full-time, very stressful job and being able to not have to worry about all this stuff bugging me down, all the cleaning, all of the maintenance of it all was life-changing. And so that's kind of how I ended up on this journey. And hopefully that was kind of a long intro, hopefully not
No, it
too
was
long of an
great. It was so
introduction.
great.
And then so what do I do in my free time? I'm gonna be one of those people that you're like, ugh, she really does. But I do actually love my Peloton bike. It is one of the ways that I'm able to clear my head. And I notice on the weeks when I don't make time for it, I am not the same person. I am so much happier when I give myself a way to have that physical activity. And so if I don't want to get on the bike and I want to get outside, my favorite way to do that though is there are some cliffs near us. We live not too far from the beach. We're in San Diego. So apologies for everybody who's listening to this that's in the East Coast and dealing with blizzards. But we can go hiking. There's cliffs that overlook the beach, and it is one of that's my happy place. Absolutely.
Oh, I love that. And yeah, intentional movement every day. Like even this morning, I was doing my workout and I have like the countdown clock. And I'm trying not to be thinking about like the to-do list and everything going on because I know, okay, this is important. This is, practice what you preach, right? Spending that intentional time for movement.
Yeah,
And
totally.
so, yeah, that is great. And I love your story too, because yes, we have very generous people in our lives. And sometimes the generosity comes with stuff. It's just the love language of so many of our loved ones. And we just have to continue to love them for it. And I would love it if you could share a story. Obviously, that was one example of when you were overwhelmed in your motherhood. Oh my gosh, living in a one bedroom with everyone, I can't even imagine. But can you tell us maybe a time, it could be recently or it could be kind of early in your motherhood when you were just completely overwhelmed? And it could be by the stuff, it could be by just routines and systems that weren't working, and what you did when you were like, okay, I can't take this anymore, and what you did to kind of change that situation.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to Chicago. And that was an interesting experience in my life. So I was a first-time property manager. I had worked for the company before doing leasing, and so I had been experienced in that realm, but managing a building was totally new and overwhelming to me. And having a, at that point, she was three, so a three-year-old also. Like, so having to deal with all of the people that I managed that lived in this building because it was 300 units and a three-year-old, and watching how much they kind of like were very similar, my three-year-old and my 28-year-old living in the building, they all threw their tantrums. And so having to deal with that, I remember having a moment, and apparently I like to throw the towel in and I like to do things very pendulum swinging, like I'm one end or I'm the other. I'm very yin and yang. You would think I was a Gemini. I am not. But we had a flood in the building. It was really bad, like really, really bad. We had a sprinkler head, movers broke a sprinkler head on the 19th floor. It was terrible, flooded 50 something units. It was like when I say devastating, devastating. But watching people freak out about their stuff, which I totally understand, right? I get it. I was sympathetic. But at the same time, it was just stuff. And having started that minimalist journey, that was really interesting to me because I had already started to get to the first couple steps of like, it's just stuff, right? You can replace it. It's all replaceable. And honestly, in a year, you are not even going to care about that thing that you are freaking out about today. And so, I know that sounds kind of callous, And it wasn't like, oh, just get over it. It was like, totally, I get it. Like, let's figure it out. Let's do it. But in the back of my mind, I didn't tell them to get over it. But in the back of my mind, I was having these thoughts of like, I never want to be such a slave to my stuff that I am screaming at a person because of it, right? So those moments, that was probably the most overwhelming thing I've ever had to deal with in my life. I worked nonstop for weeks to get that all cleaned up. And, you know, obviously I wasn't cleaning it up, but working with the companies and getting all the vendors and doing all the things and moving people, like having to move people from these brand new apartments they had just moved into. Oh man, was it a nightmare. But it all worked out. I ended up, you know, sticking through it, getting through it, getting to the point where the building was back on, you know, we got it to 95% leased up, which is like what that's what you strive for when you're in that industry. You know, it's never going to be 100%. So like 95 is like the goal. And so we got there and it was great. And at that point, I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm tapping out. This is it. This is not my jam. This is not what I am meant to do with my life. I am not going to spend the next 20, 30 years of my life dealing with this. What are we going to do? And so we were actually going to take just a couple weeks. Actually, I think we were going to take 30 days and we were going to go to Spain. And our daughter was 4, almost 5 at the time. We had enrolled her in kindergarten in Chicago. And we looked at it and we realized that kindergarten is not required in 35 of the 50 states in the US.
Oh,
So if you didn't
wow.
know that, shocking. So you don't have to provide any proof that your child went to kindergarten. It actually starts in first grade for all the 50 states, but there's 15, most on the East Coast. So, you know, maybe that's why it didn't make sense. But so mostly on the East Coast, a couple southern states, but places we weren't going to live. We don't have family there. That wasn't going to be a place that we were going to settle down. And even if we did, maybe we just moved back after first grade. Like, you know, so we were very flexible. And we thought, what if we just traveled? What if we took this year before she's stuck in school? Because we always said we wanted to settle once she was in elementary school and be and stay put, right? Give her that stability that we both had growing up. But we had not really wanted to do that as adults. We didn't want to settle down, but we thought, okay, here's our compromise. It's time. And so we did. We traveled in Europe for about a year and a half. She did kindergarten in Munich. It was awesome. And that was another time where we really were just like, okay, we're going to reevaluate what works for us. And I don't recommend that people do that and just throw in the towel. If you have the ability, I mean, absolutely do it. It was again life-changing, wonderful, and able to kind of work together. And this was all right before COVID. So we moved to San Diego July of 2019. So we had spent a ton of time together, the three of us, like we're the three musketeers traveling around, doing all this stuff together. And so when COVID hit, it wasn't that big of an upheaval for us because we were new to San Diego. We didn't have a ton of friends. We didn't have a huge social life that we had to give up. The three of us were really used to being together. My husband and I have worked together. We work from home. You know, we're used to being around each other a lot. So I was really thankful for that. Of course, if we could not have COVID, that would have been wonderful. But, you know, it is what it is. You got to deal and roll with those punches. But those were kinds of those things that, yeah, that's one of the things we did when I was overwhelmed. I generally just have a moment of like, I've got to pull away and I've got to really reassess and see what's working and what's not. And yeah, hopefully that made
Yeah.
sense and helpful.
Yes, of course. Yeah. And I think that the fact that you were able to simplify and declutter kind of already, then you really have, first of all, less attachment to things. Like I actually do that as an exercise with people that I coach. Like imagine you went on vacation and then someone called, your neighbor called and said everything flooded. Like what would you miss? And like go. And most people say photos, and then I say, okay, anything else? And they're like, because there's nothing like that important, like you said, but also that you had that flexibility to be able to really, like you said, reassess and not feel burdened and kind of bogged down by what you had. And you could give your daughter that experience. That is really awesome. And yeah, I love your story is so much more like fun than mine, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you gotta help me, Deanna, because I can't do this digital clutter thing anymore. It's driving me nuts and I need some help. We all need
All
help.
right,
And I
totally.
know for me, like I can just kind of hide it and it, but it does cause a lot of stress for me. Like for me, I'm trying in my inbox to have like less than 50 in there, because if it's more than 50 in my Gmail, it goes to a second page. I'm like, no. And I have done like Evernote in the past, and now I'm doing Apple Notes as far as like that goes. But I would love it if you can kind of talk to us. Like, I loved one of your episodes where you talked about having this virtual filing cabinet and kind of thinking of our digital files in that way, in a very logical and consistent way. And if you had an overwhelmed mom that's like me, like, oh my gosh, my email's out of control. I have a million photos on my phone and I don't even know how to scan anything because I just have piles everywhere. Like, what kind of process
Totally.
would you bring her through? Because we all need help, I think, in this area.
Absolutely. Okay. So first off, know that you're okay. You're normal. People deal with this, right? You've already been able, you've proven that you can do this with your physical stuff. So if you can do it with your physical stuff, 100%, you can do it with your digital stuff. And it is very similar. It's just so easy to put off the digital clutter because you don't see it. And so that's what we're going to start with, right? We're going to figure that part out first, and then we will work on the rest of it. Okay. So when you're looking, okay, the way I like to set up my systems is I think about my virtual filing cabinet exactly like I think of my physical filing cabinet. So I'm going to have folders for personal things. I'm going to have folders for business things. And I do have the third file I have is a temporary file. And this one is kind of what I think is the key to it, because just like when I declutter things, there are going to be things that I'm physical things. There are things that I'm not 100% sure on. And so that can be my maybe box of things that I'm like, well, time will tell if that's going to be something that I really want or I really need. Or, you know, once I'm removed from it a little bit, I will realize that I don't actually need it and I'm much more likely and it's easier to let go of. Do you feel the same? Do you ever do that with your
Oh
physical
yeah.
clutter?
Yeah, I
Okay.
usually yeah, that I call it like the out of sight, out of mind bin, and you're just kind of like not sure, but then you have a system for going back to it because then if you don't, then it doesn't become maybe, it's just another bin of stuff you're keeping.
Yes, perfect. So exactly. So it's kind of like that. So for me in my temporary folder, I'm going to have things like screenshots. I'm often taking screenshots of different things that I either want to remember to do, kind of as like a running to-do list for me, or maybe it's a reel I liked that, you know, for my business. And I'm like, you know what? I really liked how that person did that. I'll take a screenshot of it so I can kind of see if that's something that would work for my audience or for me, or if I can figure something out like that. Right. So I do a lot of research and do a lot of temporary files and things like that. And those go in there because then I know after a while, those aren't going to be things that I actually ever have to come back to. And those I feel like are the things that bog me down the most. That's my downloads folder that if I don't clean it out regularly, ugh, it's a mess. Right. So, okay. So that's the temporary one. We don't have to do too much with the organization of that file. Just understand that we need to revisit that file somewhat frequently so that we can get rid of all of that kind of stuff that gunks up. It's the when you're coming in, it's kind of like the drop zone for any of your physical stuff that you come in. Like I have a drop zone in my entryway and I'll have like my inbox there for like all of our mail that comes in. And then I'm processing that stuff on a regular basis, right? I'm going through that every week because once it starts to get full, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I can't fit anything else in there. I've got to go through it. I do the same thing with this temporary file. The other two files I have are my business file and my personal file. And these are going to be things that you need to keep. They're reference files that you're going to actually want to go back to. And they might be things like bank statements, tax documents, receipts that I need to keep for tax purposes. Anything that's like school related that I need to keep for our daughter, these kinds of things are what I will keep in these files. And when you just look at these files like you would with a physical filing cabinet. So I'm going to set up folders for each category. So under my business file, right? So this is kind of like my business filing cabinet drawer if I were ha to have a physical one. Then I would have a folder for my business files, and they'll have another folder for my personal files. And then in those, I will have files for all the different, like what I would have regular files for in a physical one. This is really difficult when it's not visually that you can't see it, but we'll keep going. So let's just take the business file, for example. I will have business file, then I will have folders for something like my bank statements, right? I'll have those, and then I will have checking and savings. And then in there, I will have another file for the year, right? Because after a while, you don't need to keep these files anymore. And I don't want to have to spend the time of opening each file to know, okay, what checking statement is this, right? I don't want to have to deal with that. I want to deal with it one time. I want to file it correctly. I want to label it correctly. And then I know later, future me is going to be super happy because I can say, oh, that's 8 years old. I don't need to keep that anymore. I can let that one go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention you reminded me something of this, like touching paper once, like for a physical
Yes.
thing, like your mail, you're going to see that all the way through to whatever it ends up being. But I love that you have sort of like the naming convention and sort of it set up so that you're only having to deal with it once and not have to go through all of these digital files to find what you need. And I also like it's very simple because I find sometimes I have a tendency to think I'm being more organized if I put lots of files within files. And then it doesn't
Yeah.
actually help me at all. It just means I have to like keep going down all these levels to like find what I need. So I love how it is very streamlined in that regard. So yeah, that is great information. And I know you have some more tips. I'm just very excited.
That's okay. No, I'm glad. That was great. So the next tip I have for is how you name things, right? So again, if we're keeping in this simplicity realm where we want to make sure that things are easy, so you want to make sure you're naming things the same way. Now you can name them however you'd like to name them. There is no right or wrong, but just make sure you're consistent. And so make sure it's easy for you to understand what that file is. So, for example, if we were looking at bank statements, so maybe it would be like we have an account with Schwab. So it might be Schwab checking. Like that's going to be much more informative than just checking, right? So even if you have it in a file where it's business, bank statements, checking, Schwab, or Schwab checking, you know, you're still going to want to name the file because, again, when you're looking at all these files, just in case something gets messed up, that file is the end all. That's the one you want it to be. So it might be Schwab checking. So it might be Schwab checking. And then you're going to do the year and then the month. And then that way they are filed correctly. And I like to do my years like 2024 01 for January, 2024 02 for February, because if you just do one and you just do two, they don't line up correctly. And that drives me crazy as somebody who wants to be organized. If that doesn't drive you crazy, that is fine. You don't have to be as exacting as I am, but it just makes them line up nicely when you put them in the right order.
Yeah,
Does that make
no,
sense?
it makes a lot of sense. That's very helpful. And I guess the other piece of it is sort of like as we're having emails come in and there are, attachments or things that we want to keep, or I definitely do like tags within Gmail to kind of help me
Oh, yeah.
sometimes. But when it comes to bridging between like what is coming into your inbox and what you want to keep in that virtual filing cabinet, is it just that like as you're checking your email and you're like, okay, this is some sort of flyer. I want to put that with the school stuff. Do you just kind of move it over as you go, or how does that work for you with your email?
I actually don't save a lot of my email stuff. So, if it's really important, it's something I'm going to need for, like I said, tax purposes, like really important stuff, I will actually take that file and download it. Now, guess what? You actually, if you were really into it, you don't have to keep that stuff. I've actually let go a lot of that stuff because the banks hold it for you. If you need to get your bank statements, you can request those. So you actually don't have to be the person that's holding them. If you're not comfortable with that, definitely go ahead and download those really important things. But I no longer keep like my emails that tell me my notif like that notify me that my statement is ready, right? I don't keep those anymore because there's nothing important in that email. The email that says your statement is ready, what is that going to help me later in life? It's not. I have actually a really funny story that helped me get over my email attachment. I was trying to clean them all out. I was trying to be really good. I was like, okay, I'm going to do great. I'm going to delete these archived emails. Do you
Oh no.
realize your archived emails are not your deleted emails? I thought they were your deleted emails.
Oh
I
dear.
deleted 15,000 emails across a couple accounts, like decades old account. Like, what? And you know what I did? I panicked at first. I will admit, I did have a panic moment. And then I sat there and I went, was I ever going to look through 15,000 emails? Not on your life. There's no way I was ever going to look through 15,000 emails. I was never going to go back to them. So what I did was I searched for people that were important in my life. I searched for things from my mom, my mother-in-law, my father, my husband, things that were in the last year were really important for us. So things from her current school, doctors, anything like that. Like I like racked my brain to think of anything important I could think of that I might need to reference at some point, or might have an image in it, or might have something that I would miss. And I just searched for those specific things and saved particular ones that I wanted. Maybe they were reference things I wanted to go back to. Maybe they were, other things I wanted to keep. But yeah, I mean, that's been, I don't know, a year ago, and I'm fine. I have survived. There has not been one moment where I've been like, I really want that email. Actually, there was one, but it was sent from my husband. It was a gift card, and he was able to resend it to me. Because my
There you
husband
go.
is a person that doesn't care about deleting his emails at all. He has that little red button that has, a
Yeah.
thousand emails. Me, panic moment.
Me
Him, he doesn't
too.
care.
Well, that
So,
is
yeah.
really helpful just as far as and I think maybe I'll have to have you back to talk about photos because we could have an entire
Oh,
episode
yeah.
devoted to photos for sure.
Totally. Absolutely.
But I think that's helpful as far as just understanding what we need, probably what we don't need, and how to simplify the process, which is really what we want to do because we're overwhelmed. We don't have time to do millions and millions of folders. So
Yeah. One
that
thing
is
before
super
we
helpful.
go.
Yeah.
Can I do one thing more before we go?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Unsubscribe. Please, please,
Yes,
please
please.
unsubscribe. The second you get an email and you look at it and you start to delete it, if it is an email you never opened and you're just doing that swipe delete thing, please open it and unsubscribe. Take the 2 extra seconds to unsubscribe so that you don't get the next 10 that you're deleting before, right? Just let's stop it. Just stop all that chaos and noise coming in to your inbox and understand if you are trying to declutter and you are trying to get rid of stuff, those marketing messages are your worst enemy because they are filled with stuff that is awesome and adorable and wonderful and you want it in your house and you didn't even know it existed until you got that email. So please, please, please unsubscribe. Thank you.
Yes. If you get
Thank
nothing
you.
else from this conversation, unsubscribe. I totally second that. Well, Deanna, this has been super fun. And I would love it if you could tell everyone how they can best connect with you, because I
Yeah.
know they're going to check out the podcast and all the things.
Absolutely. So all of my stuff is now called Wannabe Clutter Free. So wannabeclutterfree.com is my website. That is my handle on Instagram. And that is the name of my podcast, Wannabe Clutter Free.
I just have Spice Girls in my head right now. So
Totally.
I do like poetry and like song parodies and stuff. So I'm gonna
Ooh.
have to write you one. It's like, if you wanna be clutter free, you gotta
Please
do
do.
something and something.
Yes, please do. Please do. Oh my God, I love it
I will do
so
it.
much.
I will
I
do it
love
for
it so
you.
much.
Yeah, you heard it here first, everyone. It's gonna be a top hit on I don't know what, but
I don't know, but can we get together and sing it?
yeah, sure.
We'll find three other minimalists. Totally.
All
Yes,
right,
please.
that's happening. All right. Well, thank you so much for Deanna. I really appreciate you coming on the show and thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, Emily, thanks for having me.
If you like today's podcast, here's what you can do. Just take 30 seconds to leave me a review. I know you're a busy mama, you're overwhelmed, in fact, but 30 seconds of your day makes such an impact. I'll be blessed by your words, they'll definitely make my day. And who knows, you might be entered for this month's giveaway. An Apple Podcast, scroll down to write a review. Thanks so much for your time. I'm so grateful for you.